Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. Perhaps the biggest medical story of the week, at least the one that hit the stock market biggest, was Biogen's announcement that they had a drug for Alzheimer's disease that decreased the progression of people with early Alzheimer's and plaques by 70% in the highest group, 58% in the middle group. And it's interesting that it literally boosted their market value by over $1 billion. It's only been used in 166 patients. Major local problem was localized swelling in the brain. We don't know how well this drug will do and where the side effects will be bigger in larger studies. But we know something that decreases Alzheimer's disease by more than 70% now, and cognitive dysfunction as well. And that's doing what we call the your do-over plan, which is having a buddy, walking 10,000 steps a day, not huge physical activity, walking 10,000 steps a day, managing stress, that is doing 5 minutes of meditation morning and night, and eating a felon-free food group, that is 5 felon-free foods. And if you do that, you reduce your risk of cognitive dysfunction by between 83% in the nurse's health study and 90% in the Swedish men's study. So it's known what to do, and I can't believe that we're jumping all over this drug, which has side effects, and granted, we need a drug, don't get me wrong. But we already know how to do more than that with just lifestyle change, and people aren't embracing lifestyle change. So if you're out there, email me. You can always email us questions you have already for the next guest. Our next guest, Arianna Huffington, her book Thrive. We're going to talk about those things that help you to thrive and why she's changed the metric that she says we need for health. But in any case, the metric we need for life. It's more than money and power. It is, in fact, a group of things called wisdom, wonder, appreciation, and well-being. I guess it's wisdom. It's three W's, wisdom, well-being, and wonder, plus appreciation. And we're going to see how she quantifies that and how she thinks the rest of us should implement that, and why she thinks, even since the original book, the hardcover, has come out, why this is doing so well. In any case, the Arianna Huffington will be the guest. You can email us at udocs, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S, with questions for her. We'll take them at the bottom. We'll start with her at the bottom of the hour.
Bridget, Dr. Risen, are you surprised that so many people are jumping on top of the Alzheimer's story? And because I feel like a lot of people are always just looking for a quick fix, and they're not looking to invest in changing their lifestyle.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think you're absolutely right that it is part of that quick fix, or what do we do once the person gets the disease, rather than can we invest something in advance and prevent it for the vast majority of us. So the prevention, I mean, if you think of, we could have 15% of the risk of getting Alzheimer's we now have, whether you've got a genetic predisposition or not, by doing those normal lifestyle things. It's really, to me, a remarkable that people have jumped so much on this drug, but I understand that there is a real risk, and I guess 2 million people now have Alzheimer's, and it's projected to be 5 million by 2050, and use up a huge amount of the current budget. In fact, it would use up the entire current budget caring for them in 2050 for dementia in general.
By that time that people will be educated enough about the importance of lifestyle changes that more people will be taking better care of themselves?
Well, we hope so, because the risk of the increase in type 2 diabetes, the increase in heart disease, the increase in cancer survivors, the increase in dementia, the increase in osteoarthritis, those alone would use the entire GDP of the United States if we cared for them the same way, which means we will either get rationing or we will have to get much different practice in the way we, meaning different habits in the way we live life. So I think that's correct. Yet we have to hope that people get it. But if we take as long, look at smoking. It was 45% in 1960. It's now, what is this, 55 years later, and it's still 15%. So we've done a lot better, but we haven't gotten, and most people think there's a free lunch world, and there isn't. We have to pay for it with disability. We don't even die quickly. We have to pay for this in disability. So I think it's a greater problem. You know, people are hoping that they would die quickly with this, and it isn't. There's a lot of suffering and a lot of disability. So what you've got to do is figure out how we're going to do this if we don't get much wiser in our practices. One of those practices is what Arianna Huffington in the new book Thrive that we're going to talk to at the bottom of the hour talks about. That is how to have a manage your stress, manage your life much better so you aren't stressed all the time. That's probably a great contribution that she is making now from her work with the Huffington Post. You had the story on the lunch ladies and what you called change architecture, which is really the way we present food, as I understand it, the Brian Wansick vision of that. Brian's a good friend, so we should say that. And he's been on the show a number of times, made major contributions by putting, for example, the regular milk in front of the chocolate milk, by putting cookies at a, not an eye level, but fruit at an eye level. People go much more for the fruit than for the cookies. People go for the white milk before the chocolate milk if it's presented first in line. But you had more to say about how much this has increased fruit and vegetable use, Bridge.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. It increased it. The consumption of vegetables specifically by 30.8% in schools that had the program compared to the control schools that did not. And the really interesting thing that they talked about in the conclusion of the paper is that it didn't happen the first time that each of the students were presented with the vegetables, that the repeated exposure was the most important to these foods for 7 months in order for the students to actually become comfortable. So that's one huge thing, that if kids are saying, if they're resisting it the first time, that might not necessarily indicate that they're going to always do that. And then the second thing is that they changed the names of a lot of the vegetables. So it was something that Brian Wansink worked on in Cornell, talking about X-ray vision carrots, and they did a similar thing, and that dramatically increased their consumption of vegetables. And it's the same, it's all the same marketing techniques that a lot of the unhealthy food manufacturers have been using for years that are extremely effective in fast food companies and that type of thing that now people are starting to use, like the Harvard researchers, for actually promoting good food in kids.
So the same type of marketing works. Tell me what happened to Kellogg. Kellogg, you said we've changed our breakfast habits so much. Do we have enough time in the 1 minute or so remaining before the break to get that story in?
Yeah, I can go quick. So it's really interesting. This new story came out a few weeks ago in the Business Insider, and they were looking at Kellogg's and how their business has declined significantly now that Americans are changing the way that they're eating breakfast. They looked at four of the major shifts in Americans' consumption at breakfast, and they found that cereal is no longer convenient, that people prefer bars or yogurt or things that they can take on the run. They also found that if they're eating breakfast at home, that people are more likely to have hot meals like oatmeal. People are also against carbohydrates because of the paleo craze, and people want protein in their breakfast.
We'll be right back with Arianna Huffington and Thrive at the bottom of the hour. We'll be right back. Stay well.